Hallelujah. I'm a man in God's plan.
Amen.
There's a book, Brother Lee had a young man in God's plan.
Amen.
Can't quite say that anymore. But I was a young man in God's plan when I first had life imparted to me.
Amen.
And this weekend I really enjoy seeing this matter of God's economy in a very fresh way. And just realize that we need our vision to be refreshed again and again. That it's not a matter of once I saw something of God's economy, but that we need to be to see over and over again. Paul's burden, like Bill mentioned, was to enlighten all that they all may see what has been hidden throughout the ages, but has now been made known through his holy apostles and prophets in spirit.
Amen.
Well, this is a wonderful topic this weekend. And if you recall, when we started this weekend, we talked about an overall theme. And the theme is to see something of the eternal economy of God. But this economy is not just a theory. This economy of God can be enjoyed by us.
Amen.
And how is it enjoyed? It's enjoyed by grace.
Amen.
Grace is with our spirit.
Amen.
Grace is with you.
Amen.
But this grace not only needs to be received over and over again, day by day, but this grace needs to operate in us and even cause us to have a certain kind of living and a certain kind of service till we could say, like Paul, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ.
Amen.
And Paul also said that he labored, yet not I, but the grace.
Amen.
So we want this grace not only to be received and enjoyed by us, but we want this grace to be able to flow in and flow out of us.
Amen.
To be expressed in all our living and in all of our service. So this grace needs to be, or God's economy needs to be practiced by us as we exercise our stewardship in the God-ordained way. So this evening, we'd like to take a little turn, and I really enjoy, you know, there's one verse in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, where Paul said, "You have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me." Okay, but he didn't stop there. It was given to me, grace was given to me, but it was for you. So this evening, we like to consider a little bit God's economy is, I enjoyed those definitions we had in the first outline. It's God's plan to dispense himself into all his chosen and redeemed people so that he could become their life, their life supply, their everything. That something would be produced and constituted and built up, which is the body of Christ, and that is expressed in all the local churches. So God's economy, you could say it's, well, even from the title, it's not our economy, it's not our plan, but on the other hand, you cannot say we don't have anything to do with it. Is God's economy, but how is this life dispensed into his chosen and redeemed people? It's through man. And this is a very wonderful thing. And I think we've seen this in many conferences and many times that the Lord has a will or has a purpose, even has a goal, and he desires to accomplish something, but he is waiting. And he's waiting for some who would, first of all, see what it is. And then, secondly, would align their will with his will.
Amen.
and then give themselves to cooperate with Him to carry this out. So God has an economy. He desires to dispense Himself into man. But how's He going to do it? Okay. So we have such verses in the Bible, like Paul told us, you know what I did? I couldn't cause to grow, but the Lord did call me to do a little planting, and another brother did a little watering, and then something very wonderful happened. Something began to grow. So the life power we know is in the seed, and the life nourishment is in the water, in the rain. But you still need some who would be the planters and the waterers. So many times I take drives throughout the Midwest area, and you see, in the summertime at least, you see the cornfields. And they have a little saying, it should be knee-high by the 4th of July. Okay? And then by September, October, of course, it's usually taller than me. So how does that growth take place? How does that corn even come up? Somebody planted it. Wow. Somebody tilled the ground. And somebody watered, but that's not our job. Okay? The Lord sends the rain. Okay? But maybe there's some farmers praying that the Lord would send the rain. But they still have to do the tilling. And they have to do the sowing. And if you're in an area where it doesn't rain too much, maybe you need to get out and do some watering. Okay? But eventually, God can cause to grow. So God has an economy. And the economy, I don't know if you ever took a course. I took a few on economics. In economics, you study the distribution or the allocation of resources to get out to different people. And at this time, in all over the world, we're seeing how crucial that allocation and that distribution is, right? If that distribution is blockaded or cut off, you have serious problems. So there needs to be a free flow of the allocation of all the resources. So God wants to dispense Himself. But He does this not only to His chosen vessels, but He does this through His chosen vessels. So maybe I could just tell you a little bit my own testimony. Okay, I was raised up Roman Catholic, and I was raised up in a good family, large family. I'm one of 10 children. And I went to Catholic grade school and high school. And by the time I got out of high school, I was pretty much done with Catholicism. And I went to college, and I told some students the other day, we were in Pittsburgh, I said, you know, when I came to the Lord, it was over 50 years ago, and there was a war going on. Okay? Now, here it is, 50 years later, okay? Guess what? There's a war going on, right? And the Lord, I didn't know this at the time, but I began to realize that a little later, the Lord uses all the environments. That time in my life was a time of turmoil. It was, you know, not an easy time. And those who were around at that time know, during the Vietnam War, there was a lot happening on the college campuses. I had in my dormitory, all kinds of things were happening. So the Lord used that environment to, even the Bible says, the Spirit is operating, doing a sanctifying work, even prior to the time that you get saved. The Spirit is doing a separating work, opening you up. Well, the Spirit was working. But little did I know that God had, like we heard the other night, He's the one arranging all things. It's His household arrangement. This is His economy. He wants to dispense riches. So sometimes, might not be His perfect will, like Bill mentioned, but He allows things to happen. The environments get pretty bad. People get opened up, right? And fortunately, there's some who are cooperating with the Lord and are allowing the Lord a way to flow through them. So in my dormitory and on my floor in my dorm, there were 7 brothers on one floor in one dorm, okay? I didn't even know what a brother was at that point, okay? But I went one time. I was a freshman. It was the beginning of the school year. I was open to a lot of things. And the Lord had mercy on me. Anyway, I had a little difficulty in a biology class. And so I went down to a senior student who was a major in biology. And I sought some help from him, and he was willing to help me. And then when I went out of his room, on his doorpost, he had a little cutout from a newspaper. And it showed 2 young people walking by a garage. And it had on the garage, Jesus Christ, written on the garage. So I saw that, and the Lord was doing something in me at that time, and I was starting, there was starting to be a little crack of openness. I said, what's this about? And he got, of course, he was a brother. He got really excited. He asked me, here, you got a few more minutes. How about you sit down, I'll tell you. So I sat down. I heard his testimony. That was the first time I heard something of the gospel. Through him, I met the other 6 brothers on the floor. Through him, they gave me a Bible. They started coming down to my room in the morning and praying with me. And at least once or twice a week, they would come over and help me start to understand some real basic things in the Bible. Okay? But you know what? I don't think I was saved yet, looking back. Okay, it wasn't until one night when I was in my dorm, there were crazy things going on, and I was observing these brothers in light of everybody else in the dorm. I knew these brothers were different. And I went down to one of the brothers' rooms, and I started asking him some questions. And then I was a little provoked. I said, I don't understand you guys. Okay? I like to be with you guys. I was eating dinner with them. I was playing ball with them. I was attracted. I was hanging around them. But their living was convicting me. Okay? So I told him, I said, I've never once seen you guys smoke. You don't drink. I've never heard any foul word ever out of your mouth. I said, how do you guys expect to relate to everybody else around here? I never even heard of a God man before. These were God men. These are brothers who had God in them. Okay, it is one brother. He was straightforward. And he just spoke to me straight out. He said, Marty, are you really a Christian? I was really offended that he would ask me such a thing after I was reading the Bible with them and praying with them in the mornings. And actually, at that time, I wanted to find God. I started going to church again. In fact, I was going almost every day on campus. You know, I would walk to the student center, Catholic center on campus. Then he asked me if I was really a Christian. And I said, why do you ask me such a thing? Then he said, have you ever really received Christ? I said, I've received communion. Is that what you're talking about? He said, no. Then he showed me 1 John 5. He who has the Son has the life of God. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. And I was very touched. Like, well, I never heard such a thing. That God was in some people and he's not in other people. And the whole difference is, do you have the Son? And so he told me, you have religion, you have goodness, you have this, you have that. But do you have Christ? Do you have Christ in you? You know? And then he showed me John 1:12. As many as received him, to those he gives the authority to become the children of God. Okay? I thought, wow, that's pretty straightforward, pretty clear. Okay? Then he showed me, you know, whether it's the best use of this verse or not, it worked. It's Revelation 3:20. It's, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and feast with him and he with me. Okay? So he told me, the only way that you can have eternal life is if you have Christ. The only way you can have Christ is if you receive him. The way to receive him is to open the door and let him in. Okay, I was a freshman, but I was still proud. Okay. I said, okay, I'll think about it. So I went back down to my room, and I did more than thinking. At that time, I just knelt down by my bed and just prayed, Lord, I don't know if you're in me or not. If you're not in me, or if you are in me, that's good. If you're not in me, I receive you right now.
Amen.
And I got saved.
Amen.
Okay, so I have a question for you tonight. Did God's economy start to get worked out in me? What would you say? Yes. Okay. How did God's economy, the definition is that this life, it's his plan to dispense himself into his chosen and predestinated. I'd never even heard of those words before. Chosen, I didn't know what chosen was. You know, predestinated, wow, I'd never heard of that. Okay, but later on I found out I was one. I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I was predestinated to become a son of God. Okay, but how did this dispensing take place? Okay, yes, God dispensed himself into me as life. But I tell you, if it wasn't for this brother, I don't know if life would have got dispensed into me, at least at that point. Okay? It took a human vessel. It took a channel. It took another brother. Grace was given to him for me. Okay? So the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing through the word. How does this word get into people? How do they receive it and begin to have faith? It's by hearing, the hearing of faith. And how does this hearing take place? Somebody has to speak it. Okay, so tonight we want to talk about this. That God's economy is not something separate from God's ordained way. Okay, this is really helpful, and actually it's very helpful still to me today, okay? Because sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes I think God's economy is over here, and now we're going to practice the God-ordained way. That's over here, you know? And I just somehow didn't, you know, they go together. Okay? God's economy is to dispense himself into us. He has a plan. He has riches. And he is pouring himself out. Okay, and we are receivers. We're enjoyers. But Paul said, it's almost like, you know, yes, the goal is to build up the body of Christ. And this life needs to get into me so that I can grow in Christ and become a full-grown son of God and be perfected to be brought unto full sonship. Okay, but you can say, is that really the totality of it all? You know, is it everything is just, I don't know what you could say. It seems like it's just like totally centered on me. Okay? But you read Paul. Paul said, grace was given to me. It was for you. Okay? Then, if you look a couple verses later, Ephesians 3:8, he said, to me, I'm the last of the least of all saints, was this grace given? What for? He didn't say, grace was given to me so that I might really have an enjoyable Christian life and so that I could fully know and enjoy God's economy and that I could be brought unto full sonship and become part of the New Jerusalem. That's all true, but that's not what he said. This grace was given to me to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Okay, grace was given to me. So I'll just continue my testimony a little bit. You know what happened? I got saved. And this didn't happen overnight, but in the next, even maybe just in the next 5 years or so, I got saved. My wife got saved. My brother got saved. My sister got saved. And eventually my younger sister got saved. And now, okay, I told you I'm one of 10. My family now is propagated. And this summer, we're getting together. There's going to be almost 100 of us. Okay? But I could tell you this. You know, there's about 20 of us who are saved and in the Lord's recovery. Okay? So it's wonderful. And it wasn't that I was trying to do anything. I was just enjoying grace. But this grace flows in and flows out. This grace flows out. Paul said, grace to me for you. God's economy is not one way. Right? God's economy flows in and flows out. Right? And so this grace wants to be dispensed. And that's why we practice what we call the God-ordained way. What is that? And how does that relate to God's economy? Is that God is gaining a group of people, not only to enjoy his dispensing, but also who would cooperate with him and allow him a way to be dispensed into others. Okay, so if you read Roman numeral 1 here, it's very wonderful, very interesting. It says we need to see the relationship between God's New Testament economy and the practice of the God-ordained way. Okay, we need to see this. Otherwise, if we just get caught up in an outward practice of the God-ordained way, separate from God's economy, I don't know what that is. We become kind of like Methodist. We have our method, right? We have our particular way of doing things. Okay, there are a lot of groups who have their way of discipleship and evangelism. There's all kinds of good evangelistic programs and discipleship programs. Okay? Is that what we're in? No, we're not in that. we're in the Lord's recovery, who's recovering God's New Testament economy.
Amen.
What is that? He is dispensing himself into us, and we're cooperating with him to allow this dispensing not only to be enjoyed by us, but also to flow through us in our practice of a way that is according to the Bible to propagate and dispense this life into others.
Amen.
It's not a method that we're trying to all learn. It's not that difficult. You can study the God-ordained way and the different steps of the God-ordained way, and we'll talk about that in the next these two meetings. But if we just have a method, you can say, we're pretty sorry state if we don't have the life flow. You cannot separate God's New Testament economy from the practice of the God-ordained way. Okay, so look at letter A. It says, although we have seen God's economy. Now, this is an exact quote. This is what Brother Lee was considering before he went back to Taiwan to consider our practice. He said, although we had seen God's economy and his dispensing, we were still short in the matter of practice. Hence, I spent 4 years to study the way of practice according to the Bible in an attempt to find out the way to put into practice the dispensing in God's economy. So, Brother Lee's view at that time was he did not have the view of coming up with some new method in the church to, surely he was concerned about the increase and the growth and the spread and propagation. But it wasn't like, let's go back and try and figure out or study how we can come up with a new method. No. He wanted to find how we can practice the dispensing. Isn't that something? He wanted to find out how we could practice the dispensing. Okay, so here we are learning, we're all still learning how to enjoy the Lord, how to enjoy grace, how to partake of grace, how to know Christ as our life and our everything. But we also want to put into practice the dispensing in God's economy. Okay, letter B says, our desire is to see and enter into the God-ordained way in order to practice the New Testament economy. So you can see in Brother Lee's view, these were not two separate things. Okay, he wanted to find a way. God's way, the scriptural way, a new way according to the Bible. What is that in contrast with? Is that all the traditional way? Okay, he wanted to find a way where all the members could be dispensers. So, if you recall, what is the traditional way? The traditional way is where every meeting. In many, many congregations, you have a clergy-laity system. You do not have the functioning of all the members. So actually, Brother Lee was very concerned, even among us in the churches. It was you might not know this, but it was a practice among many of the churches throughout the world to every Lord's Day morning to have long message meetings. In all the churches, and then a few maybe testimonies at the end. Okay, that was our way. Okay, but Brother Lee began to realize, okay, number one, there's a problem here. Saints don't know the Bible that well. Number two, saints don't know how to share the gospel. Number three, saints don't know how to stand up and speak the truth. Speak for Christ. Okay, so Brother Lee was burdened. We have to learn how to practice God's New Testament economy.
Amen.
Where all the members can function and be involved in the priesthood of the gospel. And this is still our burden today. We are still fighting this battle. So you think about it. In my testimony, to this day, I'm so thankful. You know who preached the gospel to me? A fellow college student. Okay? It wasn't a full-timer. It was not a clergyman. It was not a pastor. It was not anybody older. It was my peer. Okay? How did he do that? First of all, he knew a little bit of the Bible. He knew some key Bible verses. And he had a way to impart them to me. He had the speaking of faith. So he exercised and released his portion, and I got saved. Okay, today, I still tell college students this. You don't? College students should preach the gospel to college students. Okay? There's a lot of full-timers, and I'm for it. And I'm involved with raising up more teams. I like to see more and more full-time teams. Okay, but full-timers do not want to replace the function of the students. What we want to do is enhance the function of the students, is train the students so that they can preach the gospel. Okay? So, we need to be saved from the old traditional way, where you have one person preaching every Sunday morning and everybody just listening. No, we know that now, I think in almost every locality now, you come to a church meeting, wow, so rich, so many saints, releasing the word, speaking the truth, releasing the riches, exercising our stewardship, dispensing Christ to one another. This is the God-ordained way. Okay, so this is what we want to continue to learn. And we're here to fight for this, right? The practice of God's ordained way in order to carry out his New Testament economy. Letter C, when we go out, we must hold on to the concept and deep feeling that we are going out to visit people for God's economy. We are not going out just to fulfill a duty, to carry out a certain method, to find out what works and what doesn't work. No, we're just here to share Christ, impart life to others. Okay, I had a little experience on my way. Bill and I drove from Pittsburgh to here, but I flew from Chicago to Pittsburgh. I'm sitting on the plane next to this young girl next to me. Okay, the Lord is operating in me. Okay, I'm thinking there. I'm an older man. This is a young girl. I don't know if it's appropriate I should talk to her. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I just couldn't take it anymore. Are you a student? She said, I am. And she showed me her phone. On her phone, it said, UPitt. I said, I'm going to UPitt this afternoon for a Bible study. And that just kind of opened the door, and life began to flow out. Okay? So, we're learning. We're all learning. Bill was telling us the other night, one brother who wrote a biography of Watchman Nee, he was an Englishman, his name was Angus Kinnear. One time he talked to Watchman Nee, and he asked him something about what he enjoyed about the British or something. Anyway, he said one time he enjoyed seeing when you go down the street in the back of the cars on the license plate, there's a letter L on many of the license plates. You know what that stands for? That driver, I've seen this on American cars. They have new driver inside, be careful, or something like that. Okay, this L on the back of a license plate means this person is a learner. And Watchman Nee said he likes that. Yeah. And maybe, what did he say? That we should all have like a letter L on our back. So if I had time, I was going to put a letter L on my back. You know one problem we have? There's too many experts. Okay? It's not that hard, you know, to figure out the steps of the God-ordained way and how to do it and what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and all that. Okay? And a lot of saints become experts. But you know what happens? Brother Minoru told us this. This kind of thing can become one of the most divisive matters. Why? Because you're fighting and arguing about, did you do it right? Did you do this right? Oh, you did. Did you? Do you have a small group? Does your small group, is it vital? How do you know if it's vital? Does your group pray? Does your core members pray before you meet on Friday night? You know? Do you still do door knocking? Didn't Brother Lee say door knocking doesn't really work in the United States? You know what? Do you still do that? What is that? That's for sure separating God's economy from God's ordained way. There's no life in that. Okay, we had, I'll tell you this one story. We had a young brother in our locality. Actually, he wasn't that young, but he was single. You know what? He became an expert on raising children. And he started telling some of the parents, you know, they were doing some things wrong. And this is, you know, you should discipline your kids and you should do this and you should do that. He had a lot of theory and teaching, but you know what? He had no practice. So I told him, I said, brother, number one, you're single. Number two, it might be the same. You're not married. Number three, you have no children. Okay? Number four, you best be quiet. Okay? Don't be an expert. Okay, so do you want to be an expert? You want to have an E on your back? Or you want to have an L on your back? I want to have an L. Okay. We're learners. What do we want to do? Okay, I've seen some young couples who have children and maybe really struggling. You know, man, how do you raise these kids? What do you do? Wow, these kids, they're going crazy. Okay. But you know what? It's the real thing. It's the real thing. Okay, we don't want a theory. We don't want a practice or a method. We don't want just to become an expert. We want to have the reality. Amen. We want to be those who are learning and just practicing. Amen. We want to impart life to others. Okay, so when we go out, what are we doing? We want to share with people, visit people for God's economy. Okay, number two, we need a clear vision and deep impression concerning God's economy, which involves the completion of Christ and the propagation of the pneumatic Christ for the producing of the church. So I think Bill shared with us already, the Lord was processed. He went through all the stages, through incarnation, through human living, through his death, through his resurrection. Not only was he processed, but he was completed. Okay? He was consummated as the Spirit. Okay, then what? This completion is for his propagation. The last step in his completing process was to become the life-giving Spirit, or the pneumatic Christ. And this is for the producing of the church. We know, I love those that Bill shared this morning, the two becomings. We put out a little gospel tract, the two becomings of Christ, right? God became flesh, right? And then the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. Okay, so letter A, the completion of Christ is the first major item in the divine economy. To fulfill God's eternal purpose, Christ needed to be divinely equipped or completed with incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Then what happened? This completed Christ has linked us to himself. And by this linking, he sends us to people as his ambassadors. So you think about, here's the completed Christ who has gone through all this process. And he did this with a goal to bring us near to him, even to be joined to him. We were those, like Ephesians says, we were far off. Right? We were without God in the world. Right? But we have been brought near by the blood of Christ through the Lord's death on the cross. And through his resurrection, he imparted this life into us. Now, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. We are linked to him. We are joined to him. Okay, then who are we now? Yes, we are the children of God. We're growing unto full sonship. But we are also, the Bible calls us, ambassadors. Ambassadors. So the very best ambassador is one who speaks exactly the same as the one who sent him. Okay, so if you have an ambassador for the United States, you go to a certain country, hopefully what you're saying is what the president is saying or what his administration is saying. Okay, so how about us? We are ambassadors. If we are one with Christ, we have the same vision, we have the same heart, we have the same desire, we have the same speaking, that we could be linked to him, we would have, even the Lord said in Matthew 28, when he sent the disciples, we would go with his authority, and we would go even with the Lord, promised that he himself would be with us. So we are linked to him. We are his ambassadors joined to him. And now this propagation can begin to take place. The propagation of the pneumatic Christ is the next major item in the divine economy. So the Lord went through all of this. The only begotten Son passed through this process that he might become the firstborn of many brothers. How do the many brothers come about? It's through propagation, right? Through this propagation of the pneumatic Christ, then the many brothers come forth. So the pneumatic Christ is the essential spirit of life to impart the divine life of resurrection into God's chosen and believing people. The pneumatic Christ is also the economical spirit of power to baptize the regenerated believers into one body. So here is a really key matter, is that we have the spirit within and the spirit clothing us without, so that we would be the Lord's ambassadors to bring others to believe in him and receive him and be baptized into him and be baptized into the one body of Christ. Okay, so number three, what a great thing it is to go out by being linked to Christ so that people can be regenerated with the essential pneumatic Christ and be baptized not only into the triune God, but also into the body of Christ. So to preach the gospel to people is to make them the multiplication of the pneumatic completed Christ. So we have heard over and over, we're not just out to save souls, we're out to produce brothers. Amen. Right? We like to propagate and see a multiplication of this life in others. So this completion of Christ and the propagation of the pneumatic Christ are for the producing of the church. And I really enjoy this. Brother Lee told us many times, we're not here just for young people's work or campus work or community work. Yes, we may serve and we may work with the young people or on the campuses or in the community, but our goal is the building up of the church. We're here for the building up of the body of Christ expressed in each locality. Oh Lord. Well, this next portion is kind of an important part, and I really enjoy this, and that is that even you could say before we even begin to practice, we need to consider how about our life. And says the application of the God-ordained way is by a revived life. So this last year, we had a Lord's Day afternoon fellowship with all the saints. It was open to all the saints from the 10 GTCA cities. And Brother Monroe shared some very helpful things over a whole year. There were about 45 different weeks that this meeting went on. And I was very touched by this because, in fact, I was a little bit confounded for a while. It seemed like every week, for a long time, all we did was talk about a revived life. And I thought, wow, I thought we were going to get into the God-ordained way and talk about the spreading and propagation and the migration and conquering this city and that city and really moving on. And Monroe kept hitting this matter of, are you revived? Are you revived? And eventually I began to realize, wow, we need to be revived. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's say I live in this city, City A, and I'm pretty dead, and I'm pretty lukewarm, and I'm barren, okay? But I got touched by the Lord and stirred up by the Lord to migrate, so I go over here. I move to City B, okay? I move from A to B. Okay, but you could say, who moved? Me. What's my state? Okay, I'm in a new place. But what's my condition? That's another question. Okay, I might still be dead, lukewarm, and barren. Okay, so you begin to realize it's not a matter of just doing something outwardly. Okay, you can migrate if you want. You can migrate every year, go to a new city. And you might think, I'm really in the Lord's move. I migrated from here to there and all over the place. Okay, but begin to realize, no, the Lord wants something a little deeper than that. He wants us not just to change places. We need to change, be a changed person. We need a revived life. Amen. So this is really crucial. In the practice of the God-ordained way, you can learn how to practice the God-ordained way. It's very simple. Okay? In fact, some brothers have put a little letter on it. BNPB. Okay? It's very simple. BNPB. Okay? I learned that, and it's very simple. Okay? B is for begetting. Okay, the first step is to beget. Okay, you have to preach the gospel to beget. Okay, N is nourish. Beget, once you beget, then you need to nourish. You need to feed. You need to shepherd, nourish, and cherish. Okay, not that hard. Okay, number three, BNP, perfect. Okay, you think of a little child. I was thinking about this. Let's say couple decides they would like to have children. What's the first step? Beget. You have a baby. Then the second step, you have to feed that baby. Nourish and cherish that baby. But then, you keep nourishing and cherishing, Eventually, he realized, no, this one needs to go to school, need to be perfected, needs to not only grow in life, but needs to be educated, needs to be perfected. Okay, then what? BNPB. B is build. Okay, humanly, a person is born, grows up, educated, but eventually the goal is that you would begin to build. You would be useful in society, a contributing member in society. Okay, how about in the Christian life? It's the same. We need to be born again, right? Be begotten of God. Then we need to be nourished. I'm so thankful these brothers in my dorm, they came down. It wasn't the greatest, but they fed me a little bit, okay? They helped me get in the Word. They began even to do a little educating, but this is prior to the church life. When I came to the church life, wow, that's when I really started getting fed and nourished and perfected and begin to learn the truth and come to the full knowledge of the truth, okay? So the perfecting eventually should issue in a life of building, where we all can be contributing members in the body of Christ, building up. Every Lord's Day, we should be builders through our prophesying, through our contributing what we have for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, but that's not too hard to learn those steps. And what's harder is to practice. Okay, we have a lot of people who know those steps. I'm not sure how many of us practice those steps. Okay, so besides knowing this, what's really not too easy is to practice. Okay, so we need a certain kind of life. So we read this morning, I really enjoy this verse. Paul said he labored. Even he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. But you know what? He gives a little secret there. He said, but yet not I, but the grace. The grace. Okay, so Paul had a certain kind of life that he was enjoying. This grace was given to him. Okay, yes, it was for others, but it's impossible to flow out something that you yourself do not have. Okay? It's hard to give life if you don't have life. Okay, so the first thing is that we need a revived life. Amen. So I've had the experience many times in serving. You know, the Lord touches me to even the most simple thing. Text a brother or call somebody on the phone. Maybe to follow up or to give him a little nourishing. Share something. Okay. Do you know how heavy the phone can be sometimes? It's like, yeah, I know I should do this. But I don't know, for some reason, this phone is just so hard to get up to or to get the finger going, you know, texting. Okay, what does that indicate? Usually, in my experience, a little short of grace. Okay. When grace is there, life will flow. Amen. When grace is enjoyed by us, grace can be experienced by us, and we can labor by this grace. Okay, so letter A says, the biblical way, the God-ordained way, includes four things. One, the preaching of the gospel by visiting people to get people saved for Christ. Okay, the Lord charges us, I think we know this, we need to go into all the world and proclaim. We need to come to the Lord and go to people. In fact, this last year, I thought it was really good. The emphasis is don't have a church life focused on so many things and forget about people. We're here for people, okay? What is our business is a people business, right? The unbelievers and the believers. So we need to come to the Lord, enjoy grace, and then go forth to others. And to do this, we really need what Brother Lee called an intimate concern. Okay? We need to have a feeling. If you read the Gospels, you find many times the Lord says he had compassion on ones. Even I read recently, said the Lord didn't want to send the people away without food. Okay, the ones who were beginning to follow him. So the Lord had feeling towards those. And you read the Gospels, so many cases, the Lord had feeling towards ones, had an intimate concern. And I think we all have experienced this. Without an intimate concern, very hard to go to reach out. Then number two, having home meetings set up in the new ones' homes for nourishing and cherishing them so that they may grow in life. Okay, the Lord charged Peter over and over, do you love me? Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. All right, so this step here, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I think a lot of us go from number one to number three, right? Preaching the gospel and visiting people. If people get saved, then we bring them right to a group meeting. But here it talks about visiting them in the home meetings, right? Going to them. Well, you know, later on, Brother Lee talked about this is a matter of visiting people, whether it's in their homes or possibly in a coffee shop or on campus or in so many different places. It's going to where these people are. So it's not just begetting and then bringing them right away to a group meeting. It's visiting them, having a time with them to nourish and cherish them. Okay, we have a sister in our neighborhood. She's in the church life, very much functioning member in the church. But her husband is not. He's a believer, but he's not in the church life, and he is not interested. Okay, one day she was working in her yard, in the backyard of her house, and her neighbor was out in the adjoining yard. And she had seen him many times, and she shared the gospel with him, which was, I was like, wow, this is really very sweet. Okay, and she's a little bit quiet sister, and she preached the gospel to her neighbor. And then she told me, he got saved. I said, that's wonderful. She said, but I'm a sister. I said, yeah. She says, I'm not going to shepherd him. I said, okay. So I told her, okay, I will. You know. So I've been connected with her neighbor probably for the last year. But you know what happened? As soon as he got saved, I can't remember if it was through the sister or through me or who, I don't remember. Anyway, very quickly he came to a group meeting, and I could tell right away it wasn't, you know, he was not ready for that. Okay, so I had a feeling, no, slow down. Just have a time with him every week. Okay, I've been doing that now for almost a year. Okay, just every week, once or twice, just even a half hour, slow. Okay, will he eventually come into the group meetings? I hope so. We'll see. Okay, brothers actually in Pittsburgh the other night, they asked us, could you tell us some stories of ones whom you actually seen come all the way into the church life? Okay, some that you cared for. Okay, so that's a pretty good question. Anyway, I told them about this one brother. I told them, my experience, this is not a quick work. Okay, I had a brother on a campus once. I began to speak to him, began to meet with him, and it was very good, and we had good appointments for a long time. Then, I can't remember what the story was. I don't know if he did an exchange program or something. He went overseas for a whole year. Okay, we lost track. Then he came back and he told me he joined another Christian group. So that was disappointing. That was hard. But then we just still stayed in touch. Eventually, he opened up again. Kept sharing with him again, going on week by week, week by week. Anyway, today, this brother is in the church, functioning. He's a responsible brother, okay? But his transporting into the church life probably took about 5 years, okay? It was not quick. So I know there are some who, and I've seen some, who come very quickly, but I also seen some take a long time. So we need to nourish and cherish and take care of ones wherever they are. And in a sense, have a heart for them, for their interest, for their growth. Whether they come this way, Brother Lee said, Joseph's storehouse was not just for the people of God, it was for all the people. So we want to share our riches, impart them into others, but some definitely will come this way, some may not. But we want to practice God's economy in this way, not just seeing people born again, but dispensing into them, and then eventually bringing them into a fellowship, a mutual fellowship in our homes and the group meetings, and eventually lead them to begin to be able to even speak for the Lord and prophesy in the church meetings. So this is very, very key. So tomorrow we might talk about, you know, during this time of the pandemic is a little bit difficult. You know, a lot of us got, you know, had to meet in homes. We got separated physically or in person or face-to-face. And so a lot of little small groups of saints met together, maybe on the Lord's Day and stuff. But I know some saints in particular that really supposedly got into the God-ordained way. Okay? But if you notice, the God-ordained way is not two steps, it's four. Okay? And the fourth one is very key. The fourth step is that ones would come into the building up of the church as the body of Christ. The God-ordained way is not just to beget and be a good shepherd or individual discipler or even to have a wonderful, sweet little group, our group. No, the God-ordained way is all the way, right, to the practice of the building up of the body of Christ. So, sorry to say, some saints, when we started coming back together, said, I don't know if I want to come back. Okay? I'm pretty happy here with my small group. Okay? You could say, whoa, the small groups are for the church, right? God-ordained way is for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so letter B, the God-ordained way starts from our personal revival. To visit people for the preaching of the gospel, we must be revived persons. Whether we are participating in the home meetings, the small group meetings, or the district meetings, we must be those who are revived. Okay, this last year, in all the fellowships we had with the GTCA cities, I began to consider this matter a lot more. And I came up with a little drawing, okay? Basically, it was based on the fellowship that every Lord's Day afternoon. And it was, if you can picture this, we don't have a whiteboard, so you just have to think about this. It was six circles, okay? Okay, we're used to seeing three circles. Okay, what are six circles? Six circles. You know what the very smallest one, innermost one is? If you want to draw six circles on your paper, I'll show you. Six circles. The innermost one is personal. Personal. Okay? The second round, the second circle, is companions. Okay? The third round is group. Okay? What's the fourth round? Is district. Okay? Then the fifth circle is the church. And what's the sixth circle? Sixth circle is the body. Okay, so as brothers, as leading brothers in the church, we might see that maybe the prophesying meeting is weak, and maybe not many are prophesying. So we might try to help the prophesying. You could say it's kind of starting at the wrong end. Okay? The problem is not necessarily with the prophesying. The problem goes all the way back to the center. The center is personal. Okay, if you have the personal, there's a good opportunity that you will begin to have some companions. If you have companions, then you'll want to group together with a small group. Okay, if you have a group, you'll want to gather with the saints in your neighborhood or your district, your area. Okay, depending on the size of your locality, you might not have that circle over here. That circle might just be the church in your locality. But eventually, the districts, this last couple years in my locality, we ended up with seven districts. Okay, but once in a while, we had to come together as the whole church. Okay. There's only one church in one city. So we came together as the church. But even now, you realize we're not just an independent church in our city. We are a part of the body of Christ. There's something larger. Okay, so, but tonight we want to emphasize this one matter. Revival starts right in the center. It starts with you, okay? You can observe in your locality, in your church, you might think, saints aren't too living. You know, we're not too many are prophesying. I don't know how many are preaching the gospel. You know, why can't anybody shepherd anybody? Okay. You could say, oh, that's pretty bad. Okay, what's the real problem? The real problem is you need to be revived. Okay? Not just you need to be revived. I need to be revived. Each one of us needs personal revival. Amen. So we don't want to be just migrate from city A to city B and remain the same. All right, we need to be revived. Amen. In fact, Brother Lee said, the vital group starts with one revived person. Amen. Okay, so how do we get revived? How do we practice the God-ordained way? How do we become ministers through whom the Lord can flow through? Is we need the life supply. We need grace. We need God's dispensing. We need to be enjoyers in our daily living. So whatever we're doing, visiting people, preaching the gospel, home meetings, small groups, district meetings, we need to be revived. So when does this revival take place? We all know this. Revival starts according to God's natural law. Every day starts anew, afresh. And then I think we're all so thankful of that. I can go to bed at night so tired. But somehow, wow, you wake up in the morning and very refreshed, right? And newly energized. Okay, how about spiritually speaking? You know, we need to be revived in the morning. The Christian life follows the natural law of the creation through the moving of the sun when the sun rises. If you think about it, when you see the sun rise tomorrow morning, you should remember, I need to be revived. Every day we need a new beginning. Every day we need a new revival. We need to keep rising up and touching the Lord's new faithfulness, His new mercies, morning by morning. So how are we revived? We're revived when we exercise our spirit. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, most of the time, practically almost every day, I wake up pretty dead. Okay? So what do? You have to exercise your spirit. It's like Bill was saying, grace is there, but you have to exercise to touch the grace. Come forward. You just start to exercise a little bit. Wow, life begins to flow. You get revived. So when we call on the Lord's name, when we pray, when we speak to the Lord, even doesn't have to be so strong or so prevailing, so great of prayers. We just open and start speaking to the Lord. I've had a practice the last couple months. I don't know why. Maybe a few months ago, I was passing through a little trial. So I came to this little section. I don't know if you ever noticed, the hymnal we have has sections. There's a little section in the hymnal called Comfort in Trials. Okay? So I thought, I don't know this section at all. Okay? So I thought, I'm going to just enjoy these. I've been starting to take just one hymn every morning. And I thought it was amazing. I've been in the church life a long time. I've never sung some of these hymns ever once. Okay? Not once. Okay? So you look at some of these hymns and you begin to just read them. Pray over them. And you just cannot help but be touched. And it gets your spirit starting to exercise, starting to move. And you speak these words to the Lord. And you begin to touch Him and be revived. So we mingle our spirit with the Word, with the hymns. And we also open to the Lord. And like letter C, in our time with the Lord, the main thing is to clear up our conscience, to get rid of our inner condemnation. This is done by making a thorough confession of all our failures, defects, defeats, wrongdoings, mistakes, and even sinfulness to the Lord. So it's good. You know, we share these things with the junior high kids, try to teach them the most basic things about confessing their sins and the cleansing of the blood. But these matters are not just for the young people. These are for all of us, for our whole life, right? That we would exercise in this way and make a confession to empty out even the small things. Even if you recall, if you were here when Brother Lee was at toward the end of his life, I was so touched. And Brother Lee sometimes would even pray, Lord, forgive us for not living you today. And I thought, wow, Brother Lee is so godly, and so elderly. I thought, man, what sins could Brother Lee commit? But Brother Lee was so sensitive and so much in the light that even when his attitude was off, he would confess. So this is our way, the way of life, that we need to be revived morning by morning. In the morning revival, we can spontaneously fellowship with the Lord, praise and sing, read the Bible, pray for matters, and worship the Lord. Okay, after a time with the Lord in the morning, we should exercise to keep ourselves in the Spirit throughout the day. This is to be overcoming and victorious. Okay, let me just tell you one story and I'll stop. Is Bill and I have done a number of little biography podcasts. And sometimes we read these biographies and we like to find the highlights of this person's life that we can learn from. Well, one brother we got into one time was George Mueller, the one who had the orphanage in Bristol, England. Okay, then if you read George Mueller's testimony, is very striking. You know what he was doing? He was a very faithful, serving one. Okay? He really served the Lord faithfully for many years. But you know what? He had an experience that I've read of other brothers similarly, their experience. You know what he said? His service was to pray. He had the prayer of faith, and in his prayer, he would see the Lord answer his prayers, and he would record them. And you can buy these books that shows his autobiography and his answers to his prayers. He would write it down, what his prayer was, and when it was answered, how it was answered. And he not only prayed for things, he prayed for people. He prayed for people to be saved. Okay, but here's the thing. George Mueller, he would get up in the morning, and he would pull out his list. He had a prayer list. And he would basically, what I would say, he went to work. He started praying over his list. Okay, but you know what his experience was? After a while, he felt, I'm really dry. Okay, there's not much life flow. I don't know if he used those words, but that you can read his biography. It's very sweet, and he's very genuine, and he tells you honestly that he didn't have a life flow. So you know what he did? He stopped, put his prayer list away. And what he did was he came to the Lord. He opened the Word, and he began to just read a couple of verses and then take a phrase and begin to pray over that little phrase. And he started to get nourished and supplied. Okay? Then, out of that supply, eventually, he got really led into the enjoyment. Then he said, then all of a sudden he got all kinds of burdens to release, and he began to pray in a different way, in a way of life flow. Anyway, this has been really helpful to me, instructive to, if we want to practice and serve and meet according to God's ordained way, how are you going to do it? Okay? It's not just by being faithful and really dutiful and carrying out work, work, work. No. We need to enjoy grace. Amen. Not separate God's ordained way from God's New Testament economy. Amen. Be in the supply. Amen. Be personally revived. Amen. Even the Song of Songs, draw me. Revive me, Lord. Fill me with the Spirit within. Amen. Be the bread of life to me when I come to the Word in the morning. Then there'll be the life flow. Okay? That's what I tell the full-timers by me. Okay? You know what? Don't be like a serving like a chicken with your head cut off. You know what that means? I don't know if you ever did this or ever saw this. I did this when I was young and in Boy Scouts. We would take chickens, cut off their heads, process them. That was part of our learning in Boy Scouts. Maybe they don't do that anymore. Okay? And then you pull all the feathers off and, you know, you end up cooking the chicken and all that. Okay, so, you know what? If you ever, I don't know if you should try it or not, but anyway, here's what happens. You cut the head off a chicken, you can put it on the ground. You know what it does? It runs around like crazy. Okay, it looks like it's still alive. But within about 20 seconds or so, falls over dead. Okay, so what do we tell the full-timers? Don't serve like that. Okay, what does that mean? Stay attached to the head. Amen. Stay in the life supply. Amen. Stay in grace. Let this grace, labor by this grace, stay in the enjoyment that we find by touching the Lord, by being revived day by day. Then, when we're busy, and we should be, to be vital, we need not only be living, but also active. We should be active, but not active without a head. We need to be active by being revived and being supplied, and then going forth to practice the God-ordained way. Amen.